Well, I love that story of a dad asking his little girl what she wanted for Christmas, and she asked for a little brother. It just so happened that on Christmas Eve, Mummy came home from hospital with a baby boy. She got what she wanted. The following year, when her dad asked her what she wanted for Christmas, the girl replied, "Well, if it is not too uncomfortable for Mummy, I would like a pony." Well, let me ask you, what do you most want for Christmas? The Good Housekeeping Guide has published a list of the must-have Christmas gifts for 2021. I had a little browse through and a few caught my eye. You can get a portable campfire, yes, a mini campfire you can carry around with you. Sounds great. You can get a temperature control smart mug, a mug that keeps your coffee at temperature all day. Could be useful. And the one I think I loved the most, though, was a moon lamp. It's a three-dimensional spherical lamp which stays lit for up to 10 hours and has a whole map of the moon on it. Well, our final Bible reading comes from John's Gospel. It's a historical eyewitness account of the life of Jesus of Nazareth. But as we read today, we read from his introduction. And that introduction, John wants to persuade us that he has the must-have Christmas gift, not just of 2021, but of all time. This gift is not a gadget, it's not a toy, you can't buy it on Amazon, but it's even better than that. This all-time must-have gift is a person. Have a look with me at that reading, which is printed on your order service, verse 12. "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." John there, he's talking about Christ who came into the world as the baby Jesus, and he's saying that the greatest gift is in receiving him. So tonight, I want to offer you that most have gift to unwrap for yourself. Now, I know many here probably will be thinking to themselves, "But I'm not a religious type of person. Why would I want that?" Well, John's answer is this: because that baby lying in that manger is the very same person who made you. Let me ask you a big question. Where do you think everything came from? It's not the kind of question you get in a Christmas cracker, is it? But when you pull your Christmas cracker on Christmas Day, try turning to the person next to you and instead of reading the question on the little bit of paper, ask them, "Where do you think everything came from?" It's a big question, and it's a vital question, because how you answer it shapes how you think about everything in life. Now, some answer, nothing. Everything came from a big, dark, empty nothingness. Somehow, at random, the whole universe just kind of popped into existence. Absolutely nothing, causing absolutely everything to exist out of absolutely nothing. Call me an unbeliever, but I just don't have the faith to believe in a miracle like that. But if you are a committed believer in the nothing, then you've got to say that everything happens in this world, well, it has no meaning. There's no good, no bad, no point. All we can try to do in life is to work something out of nothing as best we can. I have to try hard to find some purpose, some value in life. I have to try to find that relationship to feel loved. I have to try to find a role to feel valued. I have to try to find some fun to feel alive. And, well, we can fool ourselves for a time, but I find, well, that way of thinking just leaves me exhausted and, in the end, unsatisfied. The artist Damien Hirst said this, "It's like everything you do in life is pointless if you just take a step back and look at it." We can try to pretend, can't we? It's not the gloomy winter. We can put up the decorations. have some nice food. But one day the festive celebrations finish, the Christmas tree comes down, and we're back to a gloomy COVID winter. But John tells us in his opening line, in the beginning was the Word. John's saying that everything did not come from empty nothingness. It came from a person. Normally, John calls this person God's Son. Here, John gives him the nickname, the Word, and later he'll call him the Light. But the point is the same. This person is everything that God is, because he was with God, he was God, and in the beginning, he was with God. He is the maker. He's the master craftsman who stands behind everything. John tells us all things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So think, whether it's seahorses or sharks, seagulls or snails, snowflakes or sunsets, solar systems or subatomic particles, he made it all. And he made you. Verse 4, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. I don't know whether you're someone who struggles to believe in a creator God, but don't you want to know that you are more than just a bag of chemicals? Don't you want to know that your life is so much more precious and meaningful than that? The Bible says that we are made in God's image. That is, this person carefully formed you and fashioned you from a tiny cell into become a living model of him. Each of us made to be like copies of the Creator. That's why he's our light. He's the life-giving God, and he loves shining out his goodness into the good world that he has made. When we look at him, then we not only see his goodness, but we see who we are, as it were, in a mirror, and what life is all about. Life is not meaningless. In the beginning was the Word. And the wonder of the first Christmas is that our Maker was born as a human baby. At the end of our reading there on the sheet says this, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It might be hard for us to grasp how God could become a human being. But if he is the God who made the universe, then he's big enough, isn't he, to figure it out. What John wants us to do, though, is to focus on is that that baby lying in the manger is our Maker, and because of that, he has got everything to do with you. Now, that's why this baby is totally different to Father Christmas. I mean, Santa is a warm and cuddly kind of idea, isn't he, if we're children? At least if we haven't been too naughty this year. But we can joke about him, or we can completely ignore him most of the year if we want to, and it just doesn't matter, does it? But this baby is totally different. We can try to ignore him, but he's our Maker, and he won't ignore us. All that we are and all that we have comes from him. Every breath that you breathe is supplied by him. Every pleasure you enjoy is given by him. Every day you live is planned by him. Want to know whether there's a God, whether he's really there? John says, look at the baby lying in a manger in real history. God has stepped down into a real place and time in history. The author has written himself into his own story. Here's the Apollo astronaut James Irwin, who walked on the moon. God decided that he would send his son, Jesus Christ, to the blue planet. And it's through faith in Jesus Christ that we can relate to God. God walking on the earth is more important than man walking on the moon. But why is this baby the all-time must-have gift? Well, come back to what John says. John wants us to see why our Maker has come into the world. Here's verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. I mean, we only have to turn on the TV to see the darkness, don't we? Fears over COVID yet again. Migrants dying in the Channel. Russia threatening the Ukraine. Civil war in Ethiopia. And all the rest. And it may be for you this Christmas time that the world feels like a very dark place for you in your personal life. The reason the world is so full of darkness is because we've turned away from our Maker. He's meant to be, well, the life and light of this world, and we try to run life without him, and, well, what happens? When we turn from the life, where else do we go but death? When we turn from the light, where else do we go but darkness? We were made for life and light, but now we live in a world under death and darkness. No wonder we often feel like he's not there. We're like a Christmas tree, as it were. We dress ourselves up in pretty decorations and colourful lights, and we all look very pretty, but we've been cut from our roots and we're slowly dying. In the end, all that's left is a dried out skeleton of a tree with all the needles covering the floor. The darkness is real. But our Maker has not lost control. It might look like it might feel like it, but that's because we're looking in the wrong place, says John. Where you need to look is at the baby lying in the manger. Verse 9, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. At the first Christmas, our Maker, the light, stepped down to join us in our darkness. What incredible love. You may not be sure you like the idea of a creator God. But if you were going to believe in a God, would you not want to believe in a God like this? The God who carefully made you to be like him loves you so much that he came into this world for you. And he joined us in our darkness. And the good news is that he came in order to defeat the darkness. The darkness has not overcome the light because the light has come to overcome the darkness. I mean, that's what light always does. I mean, my 16-month-old son currently loves light switches. On, off, on, off, on, off. Turn a light on, and the light defeats the darkness. It looked like the darkness had triumphed over the world. God had made it. But all along, of course, God had a bigger plan. He comes into the world not just to fix everything and put everything back to where it was before the darkness came. No, he comes into the world to lift us up out of the darkness and into something even better, to lift us up and make us part of God's family. You see, we're all born into this world, aren't we, into a human family. But Christ came so that we might be born into God's family. We're back now to verse 12 and 13. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Being born of God means that we get new life from God. We all have more of a human life in us, don't we? But Christ came into the world to put God's own life inside us. It's like that ending of Disney's classic film, Pinocchio. You know the story of the puppet made of wood, but despite the hopes of his maker, becomes a rebellious puppet and loves telling lies. And although he ought to be chopped up into firewood, he ends up, by the end of the film, getting adopted by his maker as his son. And at the end of the film, You might remember the scene. By a bit of Disney magic, Pinocchio is transformed from wood and nails into flesh and blood. He becomes a real living human, a real human son for his maker. And that is what is on offer for each of us. Except it's not make-believe Disney magic, it's for real. Christ can put God's life inside us so we can be made part of God's family forever. To receive him is to receive eternal life in God's family, life that begins now on the inside, but one day in its fullness will come. It's an incredible experience of knowing God in a deep and close way. It's what I've experienced, it's what John Neve has experienced, and it's what you too can experience. Do you not long to experience that for yourself? Well, it's possible because of Christ's coming. At the first Christmas, God was born into our human family so that we can be born into his family, into God's family. And what that mission would take him to is his death on the cross at the first Good Friday as he dies our death, and to conquer death and rise to new life at the first Easter morning. But at Christmas time, I simply want to ask you, will you receive the gift of Christ? Will you unwrap God's Christmas present for you that you can become part of his family? The story is told of a woman called Thelma Pearl Howard. In the early 1950s, she started working as the housekeeper and nanny for the family of Walt Disney. She lived with them for years and died in 1994, aged 79. Every Christmas, Disney called her into his office and gave her shares in his company. When she died, she had been living in a small apartment in LA on a Disney pension with her mentally handicapped son. Amongst her meager possessions were discovered share certificates stuffed in a drawer. Her executors found her Disney stock was worth over $10 million. She never knew how much they were worth. To her, they were just bits of paper. What a terrible mistake. That's how many in Jesus' day responded to him. Verse 10, he was in the world and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. What a terrible mistake. Do you want that to be you? I don't want it to be me. Yet some did receive the gift. To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And so let me finish by asking you, will you receive God's gift for you? Will you receive the all-time must-have Christmas gift? It might be that you think, well, I need to see more, I need more evidence. Well, please do take away with you one of these John's Gospels. We have a few at the back on the desk. Just take one, it's free. Why not read it and check it out for yourself? Look at the evidence. We've also got a three-part series coming up in January called Hope Explored. You can find details on the back of your service sheets. It's a chance to hear more, ask questions and discuss. It's designed for people new to Christianity or who want to reconnect with God. If you'd like to know more about that, just drop us a message to the church office and we'll be in touch. And as I've been speaking this evening, I know that Christ will be speaking in hearts because that's what he does. And if you sense that he has been at work in your heart tonight, opening your heart to receive God's new life, then please come and talk to me afterwards and I'd love to chat with you about how you can grow as a child of God. Well, thank you for listening and may I wish you a Merry Christmas, however you're spending it, and a Happy New Year.